Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good.
You're doing a lot of this morning?
No, only three, so it's not that bad. And it didn't start too early, so I'm okay.
Oh, good. That's a blessing.
Yeah,
I always wonder,
I've
always wondered when they put people on and they do like 50 of these in a row, like, how do you do that?
I did that once for Bionic Woman. I had to do so many of them, like, back to back, and it was, like, started at 5:30 and ended at 9:15, and I was like, oh, my God.
That is so crazy.
This is a long day.
My
publicist accidentally put on the sheet that it started at 8 a.m. and ended at 9 p.m., and I was like, oh, my God. Who am I talking to for 13 hours?
Oh, my God. It's so insane. It's so insane. Well, I'm glad glad you're having a good day today.
Yes.
Have to say right off, huge fan of Battlestar. I think it was one of the best remakes of an original series ever.
Yeah, it was pretty fantastic.
And I often wondered, you know, was it as emotionally overwhelming being in it and on the set as it was for the fans?
Yeah, it was. You know, the Battlestar was truly a collaborative project, and we as actors and writers and producers and the crew as well. I mean, like, there was no, I mean, our B camera guys were just like flying all over the place. Like, they would pop out like from under a bed at times, and they would just get these amazing shots, and we really kind of did whatever we wanted. Everyone. It was really just amazing, and for anyone who's ever worked in television, it never happens like that. I mean, you are, for the most part, told where to stand, told what to do, it's just that they really take away all creativity of actors. And with Battlestar Galactica, it was the complete opposite. You know, they trusted us to do what we wanted to do with the characters.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it was pretty amazing.
What did you first think when you first auditioned for Starbuck, originally a male character? What was your first take on it?
I didn't know that it was a guy. I mean, I was born in 1980, so I completely missed the hoopla of the original, I almost just called it Star Wars, the original Battlestar Galactica. I just missed it. I didn't know. I went into audition, I read the script, and I just loved the character of Kara Thrace so much that it never dawned on me. I didn't realize it was a remake. I had no idea. Once I read the script, I just really fought for it. I mean, the character was written 10 years older than I was. And they just kept saying, you're too girly. There's just no way. Katie's not tough enough. Because I was young. I was 21 when I got the script.
Wow. So you had to make them believe in you.
I did. And David Icke, one of the executive producers who also executive produced Bionic Woman, his wife, they were watching the tapes of the screen test, and his wife walked by the television and went, I don't know what you guys are thinking, that's Starbuck right there. And so she's the reason I got the job.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Physically demanding. Wow. You were just like really, did you really have to get in shape for that? Or are you naturally that physically strong?
I was an athlete my whole life. I would still consider myself an athlete. I don't compete anymore, but it wasn't that hard when they said get in shape. It wasn't like I was like, oh no, what do I do? It was just for Starbuck, I put on some bulk, and I put on a lot of muscle. I mean, at one scene in the first season, I ended up doing in one day like over 600 push-ups, and there's no way I could do that now. I mean, there's just no way. I mean, I was in I had so much muscle during that series, and that was hard to maintain. I had to get up every morning and work out and lift really heavy, and so because this was a girl who could beat up the boys.
Yeah.
So she had to look like it. You know, she couldn't be thin and as I call it, the yoga body. That wouldn't have worked. She needed to look big and tough.
Yeah. And now you've got your yoga body back for 24.
I'm slowly getting there. It's kind of hard. After 5 years of not doing my yoga and my swimming, I kind of forgot how to commit myself to an hour of cardio a day. So it's plus, you know, 7 years later, 6 years later, it's not as easy to, like, you know, get my little butt to get smaller. I got to say, every year I get older and I fit into my clothes from the year before, I'm a happy girl.
That's great. Well, you look great on 24. And now it's not so far as physically demanding, but boy, emotionally complicated character.
Yeah. You know, I really liked this character because she kind of spoke to me. I mean, we all did things when we were in our late teens that we regret. You know, my dad used to say to me that nothing good happens after midnight, so my curfew was 11:59. And it's true. Every time I've gotten in trouble, it's always been after midnight. So I definitely identified with this girl. You know, she did something that she regrets when she was young, and she's been, the last 10 years of her life, she's been trying to get past it and create a new life for herself. And it's quite sad, actually.
Yeah, you feel that for sure. And that the bad boy, Clayne Crawford, the actor, wow, he does a great job. You just want him to go away.
I know, he's so great. He was really great. There's that scene in her apartment where he hits her. It was a really easy scene to play because he gave me so much. So he's a great actor. I love him.
Wow, yeah, very good scenes with him. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Chloe on your case, which for an actress is probably a good thing.
It is good. I love Mary Lynn, so she kind of makes my days go by faster. But, you know, it's for Chloe, it's got to be hard because Dana comes in and she, in a sense, she kind of out-Chloe's Chloe. So, Chloe, she's taken a year off. She was on maternity leave. She had a baby. So she comes back to CTU and it's younger, it's faster, it's sleek, she's learning all over again, this new system. And you've got Dana in your face who's kind of like the Barbie of CTU. And that's what I keep calling Freddie and Dana, or Freddie and me, I guess, the Barbie and Ken of CTU. So she's the type of person who would work all day and then go home and have a dinner on the table and the kids are in bed and she kissed their husband and, you know, that's who she is, and so it's a bit annoying.
And any actual jealousy on the set with you stepping in and kind of, you know, squeezing?
No. I mean, Mary Lynn's awesome. She did make me do stand-up comedy for Children's Hospital, which was the most terrified I've ever been in my entire life. Trisha Helfer actually came, and Trisha and I have this thing that we take shots of Patron before we do anything live because we're terrified. She and I are not good in front of live people. So we're great on camera, just not in front of people. So we were sitting there, and I think I did 3 shots of Patron, so it was pretty funny. And I'm sitting there and getting ready to go on, and Jenna Elfman's sitting right next to me, and she goes, "You know what, don't try to be funny." And I was like, "Oh, my God, you just totally killed me. Like, I'm not a comedian. I have to try to be funny." And I was like, oh, no. So I went and I did another shot of tequila, and I came back, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try not to be funny. I'm just going to read it. So I did. I stood up there, and I read this thing that I wrote, and it became even funnier because I didn't try to be funny. So thanks, Jenna Elfman, you know?
Good advice. Oh, yeah. Not,
I know, Stan, yeah.
How do people do that? That is just so unbelievably terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying. I do certain things well. I kind of know I've got a few tricks up my sleeve, and they all seem to kind of help me in the drama department, not really the comedy department. So it's a completely different demon, and I say that with so much love.
Now, with Battlestar Galactica, honestly, like, I watched the whole series, but, like, I'm going to have to go watch it again on DVD because I'm still not really sure what happened. And did your character really die?
Yeah, she did. You know, now, who she was and what she was at the end and where she went is completely up to interpretation because I have no idea. But she definitely did die, you know, and I don't know who she was at the end. I mean, I'd like to think that she was some sort of a guide or an angel or a subconscious of the people trying to help them. But, you know, I think she's with Sam, you know, I think she's with Anders in Cylon Heaven or something. But, you know, I do think that she's happy. And that's what I just kept saying to the writers. And, you know, speaking of the collaboration of the of the show, like, you know, I just kept saying to them, I just want her to be at peace. Like, I don't want her to walk into the sunset holding Lee's hand, because that's just not, that's not who this woman is. She would never be happy with that. Like, we just need her to be at peace. So, and I feel like she got that at the very end.
Yeah.
You know, she, you know, that last scene with Apollo, she made sure he was okay. And when she knew he was, her job was done. And she left.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, I was very happy with the end. But I know there's a lot of people that were a bit disappointed. But, you know, you can't please everybody.
Mm. Well, your fans here were quite happy with it. And I am, well, a couple of us here who were diehard fans. And we loved that it was left open to interpretation, had that room to breathe, and never followed the sort of cliché. You know?
Right. Well, I think that that's what everyone wishes they had the courage to do with their TV show. But what Battlestar really did was they really left. They didn't follow the mold, and they really let the show be what it was going to be, and they didn't push it, and it truly was a phenomenal show.
Absolutely. So. And so is 24. I mean, you must find that with that as well.
No, with 24, what I love about this show is that, you know, a lot of my fans and my family as well have said, like, I've never seen the show. I don't know, how do I do it? And I said, it's fine. What 24 does so well is that each season is self-contained. You can pick up from the very beginning, and as long as you have the knowledge of who Jack Bauer and Chloe O'Brien are, you can figure the rest out as you go. And each season is fast-paced. It's exciting, and especially this year with the energy of New York. You know, I think that CTU and 24 finally found a city that has the same energy as the show. So it's a fun season.
Yeah, for sure. And now, without giving anything away, which I know you can't, can you give us a hint of what we'll be seeing you do in the future, and will we be seeing more of you with Jack Bauer?
I have some scenes with Kiefer for sure. You know, for the first, I think, 6 months I was on the show, I was like, I've never met Kiefer. Like, people were like, what's it like to work with Kiefer? I'm like, I have no idea. So all my scenes were with Chloe and with Freddie and John and Michael T. So I didn't really, you know, I mean, that's pretty much a spoiler right there. And with Klain. But I, you know, by episode, like, 13, I was with Jack quite a bit. And I love Kiefer. He's fantastic. You very rarely work with an actor who gives you everything. I mean, like, I have to say, in scenes with Kiefer, you are genuinely in the moment, and you're terrified. So, because he's Jack Bauer, and you're like, oh, my God.
Sounds scary.
Yeah.
Now, have you still quit smoking?
I have still quit smoking. You know, I have moments when it's hard. I'm not going to lie. It's like one of the hardest things in the world to quit. But it's I have moments where I'll smoke one and be like, what was I thinking? And then I won't. I'll go off again. And I went a year and a half without, and then they started creeping back in, and then I had to nip that in the butt really quick. I'm human. It's really difficult.
And what was your impetus to try and quit?
I had thyroid cancer. I mean, I've been trying to quit smoking for 6 years. And finally what made me quit was when I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. Just the fear of not only that word, but what smoking ultimately does. I mean, it's not even a question of if it does it. It's just kind of when it does it. So it really kind of, by the next morning I woke up and I was like, I have no desire to smoke anymore. So, and then, you know, as you start to get better, that fear subsides and you forget what that fear felt like. It's kind of like childbirth, you know, like you forget how painful the first one was. So you have a second one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my mom says anyway. it's just one of those things that I think it will be, you know, hopefully not a lifetime struggle for me, but, you know, it might take me 5 years to get it completely under control.
Yeah, well, I wish you luck on that one, because I think it's the best thing you can do for your health, really, is to
let those go.
My husband's been through that, so I know how hard it is.
it's really difficult. You know, I'm so good all day long, and then I have a glass of wine, and it just comes straight back to me.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those, it's difficult, you know. It's, you know, and I'm not one of those people that can have a glass of wine and one cigarette and never want to smoke again. It's with an addictive personality, you kind of have to say, okay, and I can't do this again, ever.
Yeah. Yeah, so, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And tell me about the tattoos. You still have them?
I do. I'm removing two of them right now. I have a cross on my back and then a Japanese symbol on the back of my neck that I'm actually removing. And not because I, you know, won't get any more. I might possibly get more, but just because I don't like the placement of them. But I still have public property written on my arm in Latin, so that's still there.
You like, why do you,
that one's my pride and joy.
Why do you like it so much?
You know, it's the whole, it means about five different things in Latin. Like, it can mean a couple different things, but it, you know, the meaning of it has changed over the 10 years that I've had it, and it's come to mean so many different things to me. I mean, I got it as a rebellion when I was 21 to say that, you know, this is what people think I am. And now it kind of, it's a reminder of you know, a responsibility in a sense that, you know, when you are in the public eye, you know, I'm not responsible to raise your children by no means, but there is a responsibility there to kind of act accordingly and you know, make people, you know, treat myself and people viewing me with respect. And so, and that's not on screen, you know, I mean, on screen it's acting and I can do whatever I want. But in my personal life, it's you know, it's a reminder to live with some moral integrity.
Super. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Katie, great talking to you. And
I
wish you all the success with your future career. I just think you're terrific.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Okay. Well, thank you too. And have a great rest of the day.
Thank you very much. You too.
Okay. Thanks, Katie.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.